Good morning, church. What a joy to be in the Lord's presence this Sunday and giving Him glory, honor, and praise. Before our second reading, Elder Mateus, he has a brief testimony to share.
Grace and peace, everyone.
Amen.
I just wanted to thank everybody on behalf of the session and also the outreach committee for yesterday for the Fall Festival. Everybody that helped out, everybody that invited somebody to be there, and everybody that supported us with your presence. For registrations, we had over 200 people registered to the event. From that, 113 showed up. On the day of the event, we had 137 new registrations. So that was a total of 250 people that were there. And of those 250, there were 105 that were like new accounts in our planning center. So it could be 105 people that were never here before. And amen. And Pastor Bruno, talking to everybody, he said there were more than 10 different cultures there. We also, during the check-ins, there were people that didn't speak English, Portuguese, or Spanish. So there was definitely a lot of different cultures there. So we just wanted to thank everybody, and we ask you guys to pray for those people that either don't have a church and are looking for a church, and also for the people that don't know Christ, that they can come to know God and that they can come to love and serve Him. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Mateus. I want to praise God for the hard work from our outreach committee and all the officers in our church. It was a wonderful afternoon. And I'm sure the seed of the gospel is spread in many hearts for God's glory. Our second reading this morning is in Romans chapter 9, verse 6 through 16. Hear the word of God. But it is not as thought the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the Isaac shall your offspring be named. Sorry. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said. About this time next year, I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had not done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because works, but because of him who called. She was told that the older will serve the younger. It is written, Jacob I loved, but Saul I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray once again. Father, we praise your holy name. We praise you for this wonderful opportunity to be in your presence as your people, as your flock. We praise you, Lord, for your word. And now that we shared, Lord, we just ask you speak to our hearts and give us a clear vision about your overwhelming and eternal love. Help us to understand your truth and follow your truth. All of these we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Could you double check if it's connected, the clicker here on the screen? It was all working before here. Here we go. Okay, you can come back to the other. I will just pass. It worked in the first service, but not in the second. We praise God for this opportunity. You have the printed copy of my sermon, but do not try to follow me. As I say to our church members, you will be lost in the first paragraph. So save the copy. You can maybe a kind of follow, but I'm sure the Lord has something special to our hearts. If you knew today that you had only 2 months to live, what would you decide yourself to in those last 2 months? What would you do? Think for a while. In October 2015, my family and I returned from a home leave in Brazil to Japan, and we decided to stay a few days in Amsterdam. So when we were just having dinner at the hotel, I heard a very familiar accent. And I realized it was a Brazilian lady. And we started to talk a little bit. And she told me, well, I just received a cancer diagnosis. And I have only a few days of life. So I decided to spend the last days of my life here, just admiring the Van Gogh artwork. It was a nice decision, so she could appreciate art, and the good art comes from the Lord. However, some men who loved God with all their being chose a different path when they knew they were about to die. Like Reverend James Montgomery Boyce, the senior pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church here in Philadelphia. He was the senior pastor of that church from 1968 to 2000. And at the age of 61, he was diagnosed with a massive liver cancer, and which allowed him to live only for 2 months. So what was his decision? He decided to write about God's grace. So in the last 2 months of his life, he wrote this book, The Doctrines of Grace. Why was that so important? Dr. Boyce knew that 80, 90, or maybe 100 years are nothing compared to eternity. It is the place where we're going to spend the rest of our existence. So knowing God's grace and His salvation will bring us meaning about who God is, who we are, and what is the purpose of our existence. It was the same understanding the Apostle Paul had when he was on his path. On his path to Jerusalem, and he called the elders from the church in Ephesus to say a few final words. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul said, I do not consider my life dear to myself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. With this truth in mind, we begin our sermon series for October. It is the Reformation month. So this month, Pastor Dan, Pastor Stephen, and I will show how the doctrines of grace are essential for us to have a correct worldview. So we're going to cover the acronym TULIP, as you see printed in your bulletin, that we find the 5 points of Calvinism. So we can read all together. What are the five points? Let's read. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. To understand a little bit why the Reformed churches follow the 5 points of Calvinism, we need to come back a little bit in history and remember one man named Jacob Arminius. If you could share the next slide. He challenged the Reformed theology. He just disagreed with the doctrine the Reformed churches were sharing at that time. And his followers, known as Arminians, they formulated 5 main points to summarize Jacob Arminius' theology. And those points went in a different direction of what the Reformed churches were teaching. The points were prevenient grace. They believed that all men after sin can respond to God's call. So, in their understanding, sin didn't kill men spiritually. The second point, the conditional election, they said that God's election was based on his foreknowledge. He knew those who would believe in time and those who would reject. The third point was the unlimited atonement. Christ died for all people, but his death was applied only for believers, those who believed. The fourth point was the resistible grace. They said God's grace can be resisted. Men can reject God's grace. And finally, conditional security. In their thought, believers could lose their salvation. You had no safety if you, in your Christian walk, for any reason, fall in sin and you do not come back in full repentance, you would lose your salvation. So what happened next? Next slide, please. After that, the Arminians presented these doctrines in the Remonstrance document. And this document was submitted to the Dutch Parliament. And in response, in 1618, the Synod of Dort convened to examine the teaching. They had 154 meetings trying to discover what the Bible says regarding our salvation, the consequence of sin, what the Bible says about our security, how safe we are. And after that, in response, the Reformers, they formulated the 5 points of Calvinism. And this is what we have. This is the foundation of our belief. So today, we will discuss the first 2 points of Calvinism, who are total depravity and unconditional election. In saying that, we will come back to our first and second reading, and I'd like to share with you, church, that God's love is immense, for he decided to create humankind in his image, even knowing they would rebel. He decided to create us with the knowledge that you would disobey, and for sure, sin would happen. And I just asked in the early service, imagine if before you marry your beloved husband or wife, you had the foreknowledge that your wife would betray you in 5 years and hurt you deeply, would you still marry that woman? Or would you still marry that man? For sure, we probably, all of us, would not go in that direction. But we find God's love in creation here as His omniscient. He knew everything. He knew that sin was a certainty. But even with this knowledge, He decided to create humankind in His own image. And it's amazing as we read in verse 31. So God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the sixth day. He was rejoicing in His creation, even knowing that Adam and Eve, they were about to rebel against Him. At that time, Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with God. So we could say that they were spiritually alive. However, after disobeying God, Adam and Eve immediately died. They were immediately separated from the fellowship with God. Next slide. In Armenian theology, it is believed that men are born spiritually sick, but not dead. And this is a big difference. However, upon a closer examination in Genesis 3, we discover that through Adam and Eve's disobedience, spiritual death became a reality in the lives of all humankind. Spiritual death means that from the fall onward, every human being is born in sin and separated from God, as King David declared in Psalm 51, verse 5. Next slide, please. He said, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And this sad reality is found in Genesis chapter 3 already. Oh, everyone, every single child here, your grandson that you love deeply, that one that is so cute, yes, he was born in sin and total depraved. What does that mean? It means that human beings, since then, they don't have natural desire for God. They don't have any natural love for God. They know who God is. They know about His power, His attributes. In times of need, they will go after God. But after fall, there is no natural inclination to God. And this is exactly what we find in Genesis 3, verse 7 and 8. Next slide. The Bible says, then the eyes of both, Adam and Eve, were open, and they realized they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking the garden in the cool of the day, the man and his wife, what did they do? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Note that Adam and Eve still knew God, who God is. They knew and understood their actions. But what do they immediately lose? They lose the desire to relate to God. Now, they are running away from the Lord. And this is the condition of every single human being in this broken world. It doesn't matter. Our natural inclination is not anymore to relate and love God and to be in the Lord's presence. And you know, if you have children on you or grandchildren, whenever we call them to a moment of entertainment or to a stadium or to a concert, there are lots of excitement. But prayer time, church, Bible reading, it's not a natural inclination of excitement, because we just lost our spiritual life after the fall. When we speak of total depravity, we immediately remember that there are different levels of evil in the world. Many people who are not religious, but they still possess some range of qualities and moralities, but those qualities cannot connect man to God. When we say that every human being is total depraved, we are saying that all human faculties have been stained by sin. Our thoughts, feelings, relationships, desires. As we see illustrated in this image, you can see the spiritual life, there is a stain. The relationships, a stain, our thoughts, emotions, our will. Note, however, there are different sizes of stains in our faculties. Some people who are just more wicked, the stain is bigger. And that's the reason we can see different levels of evilness in the world. But when we say that every single human being is total depraved, we say that all of us, we have one stain that can be smaller or bigger in every single area or aspect of our lives. This is what we believe in the Reformed faith. So, this is precisely the truth the Apostle Paul communicates when writing to the Romans. He says in the next slide, Romans chapter 3. No, we don't have this reference. Verse 9. He mentions, what then? Do we have an advantage? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all. Both Jews and Greeks are under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become worthless. There is none who does good. No, not one. Maybe you are asking, Pastor, I cannot understand. I can see goodness in people. Even non-Christians, I have neighbors, I have relatives, they are not religious people, but some of them are good husbands, wives, good children. They work well. All those qualities we saw in our Sunday school is what we call in theology common grace. All human being is created in God's image. And sin didn't remove God's image from us. And that's the reason we can see qualities, gifts, and we should praise God for all the gifts, even those who are not Christians have, and we can acknowledge. But those gifts cannot be means of salvation, and the qualities cannot save us. Because none of us is good enough. It doesn't matter how hard we try. We cannot please a perfect God. A perfect God by our own strength. In total depravity, people still know who God is. They know His law and His power. Many of them still seek God's help in times of need. If you have an unchurched friend, you can be sure that in times of need, he will ask you to pray for him and his family, and that's normal. But never without the action of the Holy Spirit none of us will turn to God. That's sad. But what's the good news? The good news when we move forward is found in God's elections. The previous one. God's love is great because he decided to choose some from among all who rejected him. Every single human being rejected God. It doesn't matter if that person came from a non-religious family or a Christian family. Our natural reaction is just run away from God like Adam. And as Paul said in Romans 3. But when we go to chapter 9 of Romans, the Apostle Paul is sharing how God, in his wonderful love, decided to elect, to choose some among all who rejected him. Our natural inclination is, if somebody rejects you, naturally, we're going to reject the person. Have you ever felt rejected by somebody? So we did with God. And what he had done, he decided to choose us before the foundation of the world. And it is important to remember that all Bible-believing Christians, they believe in predestination. However, Armenian churches believe God chose people based on his foreknowledge. So, for instance, Josh is here this morning because in eternity, to the Armenians church, God saw that Josh would believe and answer yes to the gospel in the year of 2005 or 10, I don't know. So in that time, because he answered to the gospel, in the eternity, God decided to choose Josh. Well, if that is true, at the end of the day, it was not God who chose Josh, but it was Josh who chose God. God only foreknew what was about to happen. But when we look back to Romans chapter 9, and we realize that this is not what the Apostle Paul is mentioning. For example, after explaining in verses 10 through 13 how God sovereignly chose Jacob and rejected Esau, even before they had done any work, the Apostle Paul asked a possible question that it was known in the Greek writing as diatribe. He's just creating a possible or raising a possible question. And in the verse 14, next slide, he asks, what shall we say then? Is there injustice with God? What's the answer? Certainly not. Let's read all together. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it does not depend on him who wills or on him who runs, but on God who shows mercy. Wow. God's sovereign choice was made before the foundation of the world based on his grace and mercy. And God doesn't owe mercy to anybody. This is important to understand. God doesn't owe mercy. He owes justice. So, with some, he decided to exercise his justice. But with all of us, who is present here in this sanctuary this morning, he decided to exercise his mercy. And we can praise him because we do not deserve it. It is what Paul says to the Ephesians And you can see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Let's try to read all together. It's a little small, but if you can, join me. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his kind, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in accordance with his glorious grace. It is an undeserved favor. God decided to choose us because he is a merciful God. And when we move forward, understanding a little bit this great gift, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the danger of a prideful attitude. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29, he said, "Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble were called. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak things of the world to shame the mighty things. And God chose the base things of the world and the things which are despised, even the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." Let's read the last sentence together. "That no one might boast in his presence." Why are we here? Well, because God, the Father, in the eternity, decided to choose you. Out of what, Pastor? Out of his grace. We did nothing to deserve. It was not because he saw that Rich would be a faithful man and a hard-working elder from HVPC during 70, 80 years. And the Lord said, "Well, that's a very nice investment. I will just choose that man." Even though he is all of that, and we are so thankful for your faithfulness in serving our church. But it was not because of that. All the gifts we have today, everything we are doing here as elders or deacons or pastors or members is just out of our gratitude because he decided to love us before the foundation of the world. And in the meantime, he gave us a new heart and he gave us faith. So we believed. Faith is a gift of God, from God. This is so important, church. If you are facing a season of intense trial in your life, I'd like to remind you. Maybe you are feeling abandoned, neglected. I want to remind you, God loved you before the foundation of the world. He chose you to belong to him. And sometimes your relatives, your extended family, sometimes your church family, even your pastors, they can neglect you, but never the Father. He loved you before the foundation of the world. And we have a wonderful promise that the Lord made in Romans chapter 8, in verse 30. "For those who predestined, he calls. Those he calls, he justifies. And those he justifies, he glorifies." He will complete the great work in your life. At the beginning of this message, I mentioned the Brazilian woman that I've met in Amsterdam in 2015, just enjoying the last days of her life. As I said, it was a nice thing to do, but let me tell you, artwork cannot save us. and there is no value to eternity. In 2011, I went to another trip, but not to the beautiful Netherlands, but to a small poor village in Rwanda. And I've shared this picture before, please, next slide. In that poor village, where we could not find any church, there was this man. He was 89 years old at that time. He was known as Jaja. He was one of the leaders of the tribe and spent his whole life worshiping false gods with folk religion. And he could not understand why our mission team decided to spend some days of their vacation in a poor village in Rwanda. And we spent 3 days in an evangelistic conference, sharing the gospel, preaching the word, telling about the love of God. And in the very last day, Jaja understood the gospel and joyfully gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he was excited and said, "Pastor, next year when you come back with another team, you will baptize me." So we had an agreement. But guess what? There was no time for that. 6 months after that, Jaja went to heaven. He went to live with Christ. So when I came back, I could not baptize him. But one day, all of us will be there. And I will see Jaja again. And I'll give him a hug. And I will say, "Hey, the Lord chose you before the foundation of the world. And now we are rejoicing in the Lord's presence." Let me tell you, I don't know your life, your story. But if you are here this morning, it's because the Father chose you to be here. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And this plan was established before the foundation of the world. If you did not confess Jesus as your Savior, yet you have the opportunity to do that today and enjoy His presence forever. So let us pray all together. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you for your truth, because we are not lost in this world. When we are facing the trials and the problems, we understand all of them are consequences of a broken world. But also, Lord, we praise you because we know, we are sure that out of your sovereign grace and love, you decided to choose us and give us a new heart, a new life. And we praise you, Lord, because this great work you started, you will complete, you will finish until the last day. So comfort your people, Lord. You know all the trials, tribulations we are facing. But we trust that you will help us through all of them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.